Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Okay, welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Gorbachev. Tear down that wall. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Scott. What is this?
And this.
What is it?
What is this, Scott?
It's
Time Pop.
Never the same way twice.
Ever. Holy crap. Today, in the present, we will be discussing Mirage from the past, and you will listen to it in the future, which is now. This is a 2008. Is this a Netflix exclusive?
2018.
128 minutes. We are we are longer than Star Wars territory. Directed by Oriol Paulo. O-R-I-O-L? How would you say that?
Here's my issue. I took Italian, so I always read Spanish. So the title of the film is Durante la Tormenta, but that's how I'd say it in Italian. This is Spanish, so
yeah,
correct. Anyway, I would say Oriol Paulo.
So there we go. Starring, I'm not going to tell you everyone else who's in it. It's a lot of great Spanish people. If Scott wants to take a few Italian stabs at their names, he can.
Hey, buongiorno.
So Scott,
yeah,
I'm so bummed. You and Ari misses all of them now, but you guys missed Tomorrow is Today, or Today is Yesterday, or Today is Tomorrow, whatever it is. There is an official subgenre of time travel movies called Spanish Storm Time Travel.
Oh.
Because that's what Tomorrow is Today is, a random storm that makes people time travel. So I don't know what's going on with the Spanish cloud patterns, but
they're really concerned about the weather out there. They're really
they are.
It's like we worry so much about time travel devices being believable, and then they're just like, it's a storm.
Who cares?
It's a cosmic storm.
Hey guys, it's time travel. Hey, you know what? It's a quantum storm. Hey.
Hey.
So it was
quantum rain.
So Scott and I have had a little bit of a hard time getting together this week. So, you know, I watched this movie. Oh, there's a book. There's always a fucking book. The books mean something. We got to figure out what that book means. So I watched this movie right before we were planning on recording. And then we couldn't make it happen. So I've just kind of had it on in the background for the last 3 days. I wouldn't say that I've rewatched it again, but I just, you know, you look up and even if it's muted, you're kind of like, it gives you another chance to mull over some ideas. So I've been really tossing this movie around in my brain for the last couple of days. Where are you at with Mirage? You probably watched it 10 days ago.
We watched it over the weekend. Yeah, we watched it on, I reread the plot just to remind myself. It's good. Yeah. This is number 11 on the This Is Barry list, which if those of you have stood with us a while, obviously this guy, we worship the guy. He's very detailed. He's got his own website. He does top 100. He makes maps of timelines. So he liked this a lot. I don't know if I share the enthusiasm of 11th place best time travel film of all time.
Yeah.
What I do like is that you and I complain, we bitch about all the time travel films have the same tropes. They travel and something went wrong. We shouldn't mess with it. We've got to correct it. Not enough people go into the butterfly effect. And that's a real thing. Like you change one small thing and the nuances of all the things that change because of it. And this film technically isn't actually even time travel. This film is all the result of a butterfly effect. This one is time travel as much as the movie Frequency is.
Oh, yeah.
They communicate with the past, but there is no time traveling. However, you are speaking with someone live in the past, just like in Frequency, which we've done also. So, you know, we like to stretch.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like the butterfly effect side of it.
Good point, Scott. I didn't even think about it. And as many times as I've watched, it's like there is not actually any time travel. It's like
she's communicating through a portal.
Yeah.
To another time. But, you know, we like to.
I mean, if I stick my dick in this mailbox and
you could get someone pregnant.
And 2 years ago, Sandra Bullock sees it. Is that time travel?
If it goes through a portal for her 20 years ago and she takes it in, you could get her pregnant 20 years ago and have quite a paradox.
That's going to be my new Time Pop logo, is Keanu Reeves' dick in one of the holes in the pee. And then
it's like the Lake House meets Porky's. It's like the Porky's Lake House. It's a movie mashup. That's the worst. This is the worst tangent we've ever had.
I love it. I love it. You know, if we can't talk about time travel, we really just wander. This is probably a top 10 film that we've seen, like as far as like a well-made movie.
Mm.
Like this is, am I just being,
yeah.
Is it the accents that are fooling me into thinking this is a good production?
No, I mean, it's a well-crafted film. It's not in my top 20 or even 30.
No, I just mean on this show for Time Pop, as far as film, if you're just
quality.
Going by quality filmmaking. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you were following on the heels of my science project. And what else do we do? Oh, and Dreamscape we did for the Patreon. It's, you know, so yes, this is a quality Netflix film. But yeah, what'd you think of it?
I really, really like it. Like it's
okay.
Again, because I think if we talk about this movie on time, I'm not as excited. I mean, who knows? Maybe when we talk about it, enough things come out. But the stuff that bothered me kind of got flushed out the more I thought about it. Because there's some things in it that I'm just like, why is that in here? Like, you could have cut that out and got this movie under 2 hours. Like at the beginning when she's talking to her daughter's friend, like when her friend is like, I want to come over. And they're like,
oh, right.
And you're just like, that is a fucking unnecessary tangent, but that is actually a well-placed
yes.
personal item for the next time when she runs into the school and is looking for Gloria.
True.
You know, if we hadn't met that little girl and she just runs into class and starts shaking this six-year-old, we're like, whoa, lady, because they very calmly and set it up the previous day. It's like, okay, that's her daughter's friend. And like, it's, and you know me, I am always the last person to get ahead of a movie. You know, I knew very early on that Nico was the boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the cop was the boy.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. We have an M. Night Shyamalan ending, folks. So.
But they even kind of like made that interesting for the people who were like, well, no doy. But then it's not, they don't like reveal it like you never knew it. They kind of reveal it and then give it even an extra twist.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot. I do. And this is a dumb white American problem. Like with all of the accents and all of the names and all of the unrecognizable actors, I had a really hard time tracking everybody and being like, wait, is he the guy? Wait, she's fucking, who is she fucking? Is she fucking both of them? No.
Oh yeah.
Is she the wife or is she the mistress? Or is he the neighbor or is he the ex-boyfriend? So I need a whiteboard of like, okay, neighbor's mom was fucking mistress, you know, all that stuff. So if you have a better grasp on that,
I do.
Feel free to so this movie. So yeah, it starts off very simply in 1989, the night that the wall didn't come down, but the border was unlocked.
Right.
And so that just, I mean, that just gives us a place in time, right? Like that,
yeah.
The wall has nothing to do with the story whatsoever. It's just to give, especially if you're watching this movie, I mean, that was a big deal globally. But if you're in Europe, like that day, I assume, is burned into your brain.
Yeah.
So we start that night. A little boy, Nico, is just recording himself, playing guitar, having fun. We see his mom. I'm already lost.
He's playing guitar, which he plays time after time, which I thought is a very cute move.
Yes.
Thank you.
In Spanish. So it's classy time after time.
Oh, I saw it dubbed.
Oh, I watched it dubbed too.
Okay.
But you know what's funny is I had to turn off the subtitles because the subtitles were written separately from the dub. Like the subtitles didn't match my English dub. The subtitles were there for if you had Spanish on, the subtitles would just help you keep up with the story, not actually a script check
Right.
So he's recording this on camera. There's a big storm that night. He hears some ruckus go across from the neighbors. He goes to look. He sees a dead woman on the ground. It's the wife of the guy that lives there. He runs down. He's kind of like also a bit confused and freaked out, but the boy thinks he's coming after him. Boy runs out in the street. He gets hit by a car. And then the boy down the street.
So his friend lives there, right?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Wait, hold up. His friend.
Nico's friend, does it?
Yeah.
He lives in that house.
Yeah, that's his mom.
Where is he while this murder?
He was out playing with friends. He's the boy. When the kids come up on the bikes and they see the dead body, he's the kid that really stops and looks at his dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I felt like it was later. I felt like it was like.
And then we fast forward to present day. There's a woman in a house with a baby. She's our main protagonist. Her daughter's sleeping in bed with her. The daughter's complaining. They just moved into a new house. They're talking to the husband on the phone. It's like, oh, sorry, I'm busy at work. You know, love you so much, whatever. Eventually, the husband's home and they find a secret room that's got the same camera. It's the same house years later after the boy died. And they see the camera set up and there's a storm just like that night.
So this house has been empty for.
Or they just lived there and then, or it was empty. Yeah, I don't know. Cause that's.
Oh, yeah. Cause I guess they just kind of in this timeline, where is Nico's mom?
We don't know.
In timeline prime.
She might have just moved away. Sold the house, you know, they don't get into it.
Yeah, I think basically we're supposed to think that they just kind of forgot about the house because they were worried about what they thought was Nico's breakdown.
Right.
Mental breakdown.
You're a mental breakdown.
Fuck, I'm going to have one talking about this movie, that's for sure.
So
yeah, and they find a box of tapes too. So they're like, yeah. Oh, cool. Like, let's see what's going on. They watch all these tapes. It's all just this kid playing his music, and then they go to bed, and then
it starts playing on its own, right? There's some weird stuff happening
after she goes to bed.
Yeah,
she wakes up. But do they have the argument about the matches before? Is that this night? I think that's this night before.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know she sees, it might be the next day, or it's that night. She sees matches in his like pocket, and she's like, "What's this from?" And he makes some joke like, "You're trying to control me," but then he's like, "Ha, I love you."
Oh, they go to dinner at the neighbor's house, who is the woman. So this is the mistress then that's living? No.
The mistress is the mother of the friend.
The mistress is the mother of the friend.
Yes. The mistress is the one who killed the wife by accident.
That's right. So she's.
And that's why that's why in this world, the neighbor, she's kind of a space case. She's kind of went crazy because she blamed herself for the kid's death all these years because of her affair. So that's why she's a little bit loopy.
So they go over there. So they have dinner with Nico's old friend and the mistress. Oh, no, I guess not Nico's. No, Nico's old friend is dead. So who is this guy again? This is the mistress's son?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were just friends. Those kids were friends anyway because they were neighbors. But yeah. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Sorry, that he's the mistress's son. So he does not live in the house. He's the mistress's son.
He does now.
Yes, in this reality.
But he didn't then.
Right, right.
He didn't, so.
She after that happened, she just went crazy and he's had to take care of her.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he knew the son, you know, they of course grew up in the neighborhood, so they knew the story. So they're talking about these tapes they found from Nico. And like Scott said, the mother is very just like, can we stop talking about this, please? Because she's already been freaking out that day because she can see the storm brewing, the same storm brewing that happened the night that this all went down the first time. So our main couple is Vera, Angel.
And David? Oh.
And Chloe. They're. No, it's not. No, David. You're right, David.
Angel's the guy across the street. Yeah.
Vera, David, and Chloe are the new people that moved into Nico's old house that still has the camera in it.
Yeah.
And then Angel
is the dad who has the affair.
And Hilda, is it?
I don't remember her name.
Oh, Aitor and Hilda are the mistress and the son who live in the house now. That's right. Where is the dad at this point? Is he?
Yeah, we're out of the picture.
He's just, he's got, yeah. Oh, he's, anyway, sorry. What I'm getting at is, so it's kind of weird who gets interested, because it seems like Vera would be the one at home Googling everything, but it's actually David who goes home and Googles everything about this murder that happened and or this missing person that happened and the death of the son. So Vera's just like, oh, that's weird. They go to bed. The TV kicks on. Vera goes to check it out. And that's when she sees Nico and they realize pretty. Oh, that's another thing, too. So she finds a book of matches of David's and says, are you smoking again? He gives her a lot of shit. Like this is a weird little view into their relationship because he's like, are you trying to control me? And he's like kind of fucking with her. And then he starts laughing. Anyways, he's like, it's no big deal. He's like, yes, I had a cigarette. It's no big deal. It's just one. He throws the book of matches out the window, go to bed. Vera wakes up, sees the TV, starts talking to young Nico. They realize pretty quickly that this is happening in real time. And then.
So my nitpick, I'm going to nitpick on the time travel now.
Yeah.
So the theory of the time communication is through this camera and the storm. And because of that, at the right time, she communicates with Nico in the past. I don't know. I'm always looking for the science or the supernatural. I'd be okay if it was one of those because they're doing, oh, the cameras touched at the same time in the same exact way. But like the fact that it's like too well, there was this storm and they used the camera as a conduit and they touched at the same time. I like the two things to make time travel. I don't know why I have a problem with it. It's my own nitpick.
I don't because I feel like if time travel gets invented, it's going to be signals first. We're not going to send a rat.
Yeah,
we're not going to send a rat back in time on day one. We're going to.
Did frequency have a storm also? I think it did. I think
like
it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like too. A wormhole and yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, they don't get into it. They do scientists talking about the storm. It opens up an opportunity. But the fact that the camera is like the time travel device is very weird. It turns on by its own, which. Whatever.
It's weird how much everybody is immediately all news channels, all neighbors, all humanity is like, yeah. This is exactly like the 1989 storm. This is the same thing. It's going to last 72 hours.
What was so bad to the regular person? Was that storm so incredible? Did buildings get destroyed or is it just raining and lightning? And scientists said it was special.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird that. All of humanity is keyed in on this.
Anyway, yeah.
72-hour storm. Don't forget that, folks.
So
72-hour storm.
In the present day, they have a dinner with the neighbor and his kind of crazy mom, and the story of the boy comes up because that was his friend who lived in their house, and so they tell about it. So it's fresh on the brains. When they get back to their house that night, when she goes up to the camera and it's turning on, she knows that story now, and eventually her and Nico have the whole, like, who are you? How can you hear me? And then she realizes who it is. And she tells him not to go outside to the neighbors, that he would die. And then I think he does go, but it's too late. By the time he goes outside, the car that hit him had passed.
Yeah.
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 So she's changed.
And he's confused. So then he doesn't run into the house.
Right.
And see the murder.
Right. So she goes. Actually, I don't know if she goes to sleep. She just wakes up. Right. She wakes up. And she's like, where am I? and where's Gloria, my daughter? And so she makes the rounds.
It's weird. First, it's interesting that we, instead of immediately jumping to the next morning in present time, we jump to the next morning in Nico. So they immediately show us that Nico is alive.
Oh, right.
The next morning. And this is another thing where there's, oh, that's right. She says, because when they're talking over dinner, the boy says, I'll never forget that day because it knocked out the clock tower at school, knocking out all of our electricity at school. And we ended up getting 2 days off.
Yeah.
So she says, so he's still just like, I don't, you crazy old lady. You crazy
believe what happened. Lady. Yeah.
And she goes, don't worry. She goes, tomorrow when you go to school and it's shut down, then you'll know that it's true. And so we kind of see that. And then, yeah. And then Vera goes to sleep, wakes up, and nobody is there. Is she? Oh, she's in the hospital. Why does she wake up?
Oh, she's working. Yeah, she's working. In the original timeline, we didn't mention this. She apparently was going to be a doctor, and then she had a kid. So she's like became like a doctor's assistant or whatever.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden they're like, hey, you're doing the surgery. You are the main nurse. Are just like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about?
So two things happen at her day at work. They solidify that she is not the doctor. She could have been, but she's not. And her friend says, did you move it? Who she thinks is her friend says, did you guys move? And she goes, I don't remember telling you that. And then the woman quickly covers it up and says, oh, well, everyone knows. The whole hospital knows about your
move. Yeah.
Anyways.
So everything in this movie is really, like you said, it's well-crafted. Everything has a reason.
Yeah.
Right?
So she's freaking out. She's got all of her memories at this point are from timeline one, which is her being a nurse and a mother.
Right.
But she's in timeline two, where everyone remembers her as the head doctor, the one who's going to perform this big surgery.
Right. So, yeah, she has no idea what's going on. And then, unfortunately, again, I sound like a bitchy critic. We watch her through a series of like, no one knows her. Her daughter doesn't exist. No one recognizes her. And it just doesn't sink in. Like, I don't know. It's easy. I'm watching from a film. But for me, maybe because I'm a time traveler, two of those, I'd be like, oh, some like weird time thing is happening. But she does it to a fault in this film where even later she meets David two more times and she's like, but we're married. It's like, yeah, no, you know this, that you're not now. Why are you?
Like so many time travel movies, this is missing the scene where she checks into a hotel with three bottles of Jack Daniels for an evening and just sleeps it off for a second.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Scott said, she is just going from moment one. She is just like
so
shaking everybody. She runs into school trying to find Gloria. There's no Gloria there. No
history
of any Gloria ever existing ever.
The students don't know. The friend of her, the mom of her friend doesn't know.
So when she...
Then she finds her husband.
Yeah.
And he's like, he does know her. She ended up doing a procedure on him. But he's like, we're not married. You're freaking me out.
Does he have that procedure in timeline one?
No.
That's a weird...
They meet through the other friend.
But either way, like, he had, like, major brain surgery. That seems like something that would slip over into the other timeline.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it doesn't come up.
But, yeah, so we find... So, yeah, in timeline one, she... Oh, that's right! She's dating... Jesus Christ. So, over the dinner at the beginning of the movie... The guy is like, how come we never stayed together? And she's like, because, oh, wait.
The other guy, the neighbor, was asking why they didn't stay together. She's like, because I met your friend, I fell in love. But she does see a picture of her husband's earlier girlfriend. She's like, oh, she was cute. And so when we see her husband in this new timeline, he's married to that woman. I mean, we find out later on that there's more going on.
So much more.
But he's married to the girlfriend that, yeah. But yeah, everything introduced had a reason.
So yeah, so they know each other. It makes it nice because then like he doesn't immediately have her arrested for breaking into his office. He's like, yes, I know you. You were my doctor. Thank you very much. But you're starting to freak me out. And again, she is very insistent. And eventually she goes, does she just go to, that's right, the police station just to finally be like, my daughter's missing.
Yeah, she's looking for her daughter. So now her job thinks she has a different profession. She doesn't have a daughter and her husband doesn't recognize her. She's still like, I don't know what's going on.
So in timeline two, her and Nico woke up in the same bed this morning, right?
Oh.
And then she went to work and took a nap.
Yes.
He went to work to be a cop. And then she showed up 6 hours later.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and because, that's right, I was going to say, why the fuck didn't he? But he didn't, because he's known for 30 years that this was probably going to happen. And
yeah.
Because he still remembers. He has the memory of being an 8-year-old boy and this lady talking to him. And
oh, my God. Yeah. He's just waiting for it to happen.
And so now, so he's got this kind of confused look on his face the whole time. Just like, I just got to ride this out because I don't want to freak her out any more than she already is. But the moment I've been waiting my whole life for is now happening. And so I'm going to just kind of walk with her through it.
So
he's just kind of like,
she's at the police station. Right. This guy takes all of her notes. He like doesn't believe her, but he doesn't not believe her. Right. He wants proof.
He's being a very kind.
Right.
He's not giving her the usually bitch, you're crazy.
I
go to this white padded room for a little while.
I want to watch the movie again. You watch it a second time, knowing what we know. Does that hold up in the scene, his reactions to her? Like
it. I'm looking at it right now, and I think it is because, again, like if he didn't have the memories, like if for some reason they just jumped straight to timeline 3 and he didn't grow up knowing that this woman warned him of his impending doom. But the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm like, okay, he's been waiting 30 years for this day and he's just going to ride it out now.
Yeah.
So in timeline 2, oh my God, I keep thinking I'm doing a good job explaining this, but in order, but I totally am not. Cause there's the whole train debacle. When do we talk about the train? So when they're talking, the first time they're talking, little Nico is like, where did you get that sign in the background? And she goes, I stole it because that's where my husband and I met. And he recognizes it as the train stop sign that's near his house.
Yeah.
So once he's saved in timeline 2, he spends the majority of his life. I don't know when he went to cop school and became a detective, because he's just hanging out at this butt at this train stop as much as he possibly can until this random woman steps off of it and he can stop her from meeting the love of her life.
Yeah, he's when do you have time to become a cop? Yeah. So she just doesn't get what's going on. He takes her at the police station, right, to meet like a writer.
Well, she kind of gets what's going on, but she's just obsessed with getting her daughter back. However it is, whether she's in this timeline and she's somewhere else, or she has to go back, or she
and
has
the husband too. She's like obsessed with, like, she knows in this timeline he's married, but she's still like, no, it's our marriage. Yeah, whatever.
The husband is the ticket to Chloe. Like,
right.
She loves her husband, and we'll get to that at the fucking end of this movie. Whew. But
yeah,
if she could get Chloe back by stabbing her husband, she would.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt. And this is before she knows what a piece of shit he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're questioning a bunch of people. Nico, she's trying to get to the bottom of it.
Nico starts to sheepdog her towards the answers. Oh, and wow. So the husband, when he's doing all this Googling, finds out that this guy that was possibly caught for murder, maybe could have been, ends up giving this report about what he would have done with the body.
Right.
Or what he was planning on doing with the body. And they're like, that's weird that he would do that. But now in timeline 2, all of that information is used.
Right.
Because now they know what he would do with the body. So she tells Nico where to find the dead wife. And now Nico super believes her. I don't know why he wouldn't have before, but now he super believes her. So he's like, okay, I'm going to now. See, this is weird because he's assuming that the man that is a piece of shit husband in timeline 2 would definitely also be a piece of shit husband to her in timeline 1.
Well, which, yeah, he was. I mean, that's...
Well, he was, but...
We didn't know.
I guess he's a detective, so he's probably been spending the last 5 years...
Yeah, for whatever. Yeah, I guess so. He finally says, yeah, I'll help you out. I've got this contact, and gives her the address of her husband from the other timeline. She goes to the place.
No.
And her friend from the... No.
Her friend's address.
Oh, that's right.
It's her friend's house.
It's her friend's address. He's there. The friend in the other timeline is having an affair with him. And they have the matchbook there, too. And she realizes, even in the first timeline, that he had been having the affair.
With
her friend.
Quote unquote friend.
Yeah. But she uses it. She says she holds blackmail. She's like, you're going to help me find out about where Nico is, right? So she makes, because he works for a bank. He can do this for her. He can find missing people, so she's gonna make him find Nico.
Yeah.
I forget what he finds. Eventually, I think the guy that's Nico just confesses it in a big meeting, right?
Before I know we're jumping around, but just so Nico in timeline 2 sneaks into the house as a 9-year-old, sneaks into the house where the murder took place and sees the guy chop the woman up.
Right.
Oh, that's right. So that's what it is. So he sees him chop the woman up. He's hiding under the bed, sees the neighbor chop the woman up and put her in bags, but he doesn't know where he took it. And that's the loop that Vera closed, was I know the suitcases are buried under the butcher shop. So he did. He grew up trying to solve this case, but couldn't. And now Vera has helped him solve the case that he spent his whole life solving.
Yeah.
So now he's totally going to help her solve the case of the shitty husband. That's right. So we still she still doesn't know that the detective is Nico. Yeah. Blackmails the husband. Yeah. Why would Nico? What was it?
What are you asking?
Some kind of account or deal or something. Maybe it's the house. Maybe because Nico owns the house or something. And then she goes to, that's right. She goes to her house, and that's when the new wife is there. And this is the house where the tape recorder is. She realizes that someone has already broken in. So Vera walks in, sees that someone else broke in, can't find the tape recorder, the video camera, and assumes that someone else broke in to take it. And then that's when she's like, Nico probably took it. I need to find Nico.
Anyway, they have that big meeting. There's a big reveal where Nico confesses his whole past.
Were you able to see how the painting changes? I don't even know if the painting did change, but they did they focused on that painting 3 or 4 times of the neighbor and a woman. And I assume it changes from the mistress to the...
Oh, yeah. It did change. Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the wife and it's the mistress. When the mistress ends up marrying him, then it's them. When it's the wife, it's her. Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
Anyway, Nico has his big confession. He kind of does a flashback of his whole life, right? He was so affected by that. He told the police. No one believed him. They, like, put him in, like, mental institutions, right? Like, she eventually took him and moved away, I think. And then he ended up, you know, it was so important to him. He got involved with being a police officer, but he also became obsessed with the woman. And his one clue was that train station, like you said. So he goes there day after day and eventually.
So tell me, I think this is, like I said, I keep looking for things that could be excised from this movie to get it under 2 hours. The author, they could have gotten around that author. There was no.
Agreed.
There was no. She let.
Just to get the info out, just to have someone that a reason that we would someone would record all this info. That's all.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Without finding the mom, because the mom would have never talked to her.
Right.
But this random author was like, yeah, I have all these notes and information. OK, so I guess so. And it's another person that's like, yeah, it's yeah, she wrote a book about this exact thing happening about time travel through a video camera that was total fiction. And now she's learning that fact is stranger than fiction. It is, Scott.
So Nico ended up, you know, waiting for the woman and then he met her. He got on the train and then she falls into Nico instead of that other guy, the guy that she ended up befriending and would later introduce her to her husband. So in this timeline, she just meets and falls in love with Nico, which is why they don't have children, but she becomes the brain surgeon she always wanted to be. And
let that be a lesson to you people out there. You want to be successful, don't have kids. Don't, <yeah. laughs>
Sacrificed it all.
So why? Because Nico even... So Nico plants his mom on, like, at some point, he's like, yeah, I made sure that my, or Nico, Nico's mom says, like, he asked me to stay here until you showed up. See, okay, that's right. I forget that this has been her mother-in-law for 10 years now.
Yeah.
So
he spills all this to her, and now she's remembering. When she touches someone, she, like, remembers the things. So she's in love with this guy, and she knows the other guy was a douchebag, but she still misses her daughter. And he, like, says all these things he did. He, like, lived a lifetime obsessed with her. He had to wait for her to experience this, to tell her everything. And now she does, and she's like, cool, we got to go change it. And he's like, but wait, we're not going to be together. You're going to go back to the other? And she's like, yeah, we got to change it. And he doesn't want to.
I just realized why the Berlin Wall is integral to the plot. Because that's where he says the wife went.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Or I forget, is it the wife or the mistress that gets stabbed? I forget who ends up actually getting stabbed.
The wife.
So yeah, so he's like, my wife was so excited about being able to go visit people that she went to East Berlin. And that's why you've never seen her again, because a bunch of people went to East Berlin and disappeared in 1989. I don't know. Anyways, just again, a fact that like these not there, there's very little arbitrary information in this story, even if it seems so on the onset.
Yeah, it's well crafted. So eventually, you know, they love each other. They've got this great love. His whole life has been dedicated to her and changed by her. And then she's like, I want my daughter back. And you're not listening. So then she kills herself. Like, you got to change it now. You got to save me. So they had hinted at this earlier. There was a time with the camera where you saw movement, but you didn't. It wasn't her and you saw something happening. So now he gets the camera. He sets it up. Oh, guess what? There's a storm happening. Yay.
Well, no, we're still in the same storm. We're still in our 72 hour time frame.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. It lasts that long.
Hey, speaking of 72 hours, do you want to talk about the real elephant in the room?
What's that?
Okay, Scott, do you see this?
Yeah.
Do you know what that watch looks like?
It's digital.
This is the exact watch that's in the movie.
Oh, really?
I
didn't know that.
I just bought this watch 2 weeks ago.
Love.
Because I wanted a simple, easy Casio.
For those that can't see, it's a classic Casio digital watch.
It is I think the reason it's highlighted in the movie, it has the words electroluminescence on it. So you press this button, you get some electroluminescence. Do you know what this watch doesn't have on it, Scott?
Testicles.
A timer. I know this because I bought this watch specifically because I thought it had a timer on it. It does not have a timer on it. Now, in order for it to have a timer on it, it needs to have a fourth button. This one does not have a fourth button. The one in the movie does not have a fourth button. I triple checked to see if he had a better Casio than I did. He does not. Not only that, in the top of the watch, when they start the timer, the letters ST appear on the top of that watch. What does ST stand for? Stopwatch. That means that somehow they started the stopwatch, let it go for 19 hours, and then reversed the film.
This was really long for this payoff.
No, it's not, Scott. That is, I have factual information of the hoops they jumped instead of. I have another watch. I have a Casio right there that has a timer on it. You could have just used that Casio and not waited 19 hours to record this watch and reverse it. There you go, folks. That's my
worth it. Worth it. So back on the older Nico talks to younger Nico. That's a cool concept, right? You're talking to yourself. We don't see the message, but eventually I think he warns him. It's like you have to not only not die and go across the neighbors and get hit by a car, but you have to not become obsessed with her and let her meet this guy, become the husband, have Gloria, but still become a police officer, whatever, and not go after this thing until the right time.
But keep track of her.
Yeah, keep track of her. So it's like really specific. It's this way, could she get it? And so her timeline is back. She falls on the train, meets the guy, and she meets the husband, has the daughter.
Runs outside and digs up the matches.
So here's what's weird. Why does she remember now?
Well,
all the timelines.
She remembers everything. In Barry's discussion about it, and I think even in Wikipedia, they mentioned twice, like, before her memories fade. I feel like that's everybody assuming this is exactly like the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
She gets new memories, but I don't see any evidence that her current memories are fading. Yeah, this is everything that she's experienced is her direct history of events. And I don't think she's going to forget them anytime soon.
But why is she remembering new timelines? Why does, well, Nico does because he spoke. Who remembers new timelines and who doesn't? Why should she do it? She's not the one who had the conversation to make it happen. Oh. She killed herself. Why does she remember in this new timeline? And had she been faking it up until now? Or now? Did he even touch her for her to remember?
I think there was a touch there.
Okay, yeah. So maybe.
I think so.
This one is not scientifically explained.
Yeah.
Anyway, he touches her. She remembers all the things. She finds the matchbook in this timeline. She confronts him. And we get the feeling now she has the daughter, but she's going to leave the husband and like now be with the guy. She was able to get the best of all timelines. Except she doesn't have a lifetime loving him. Oh yeah, does he? So he does remember, but she doesn't. And so he has to just stay away for like 20 years of this person he's supposed to be with and just wait. What a lonely guy. But now he has her and she has her daughter and happy ending. And then the guy goes to jail for the murder, but he takes a long time. And the other woman is not crazy because she doesn't feel bad about killing the boy all those years. Anyway, that was a long wrap up. I don't think this is one of the more complicated films we've done. It sounds like it is with the way we're talking about it, but we've done much more complicated films than this.
Yeah, it was just really intricate. It was really easy when you're talking about it to kind of breeze over something and then 30 minutes later be like, oh, wait, this little detail is actually important, might be a stretch, but this little detail comes back. Like, there's so many, like, as it's like, again, the time travel itself is fairly simplistic, but the connecting of the dots of just a well-made story is pretty good. Pretty good. This is it's a really good movie. Like, I'm still kind of like on the fence of, because it's just so, you know, it just, you know, and we've seen enough of these movies that it's like, it's like as soon as someone looks at a script that has the word time travel in it, they're just like, all right, we can do this for $150,000. And this was just like, let's actually film this. Let's get some, you know, and it's like any good time travel movie, like they only need, you know, four locations to film at, you know, they just redress the same house a couple times and do a really good job. And I do hate, I think the fact that it ends with everybody getting their cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
Is a little too convenient. You know, I mean, if I'm going to be okay with Marty getting the 4x4, then I guess I should be okay with Vera getting Chloe and Nico. I still think it's weird that Nico and Vera end up together, which it doesn't end like that, but it does. If you, I'm trying to think of, hold on. what's her fucking name? I got to get this right.
If we,
okay. A 1984 Scott Lifton falls in love with Kim Cattrall watching Police Academy and 20 years later ends up getting together with that exact version of Kim Cattrall. my metaphor just fell apart. Either way, my point being, I
go ahead.
I don't know.
Are you saying ethically it's questionable?
It's not questionably ethical. It's just fucking weird. You know, I mean, since
he's a kid. Oh, her from a future. They're actually around the same age, but her from the future talked to him as a kid. But you first had a crush on someone so much older than you, but then you were the same age. It's a weird thing. It's a paradox of sorts.
I mean, I guess she knows the older, she hung out with the older version of him a long time without realizing he was young Nico. So she kind of got a crush on this age appropriate gentleman before she realized it was the kid who crushed on her 20 years ago. Ethically, it's fine. But it's fucking weird.
It's got to go through some ethical filters. We're working on it.
Yeah. It's like you got a crush on your mom's friend and then 20 years later, you know, and that's weird too, because then 20 years later, your mom's friend would be 50 and you're 23, which is fine. You know, nothing wrong with older ladies, but it's still like, it screams of not moving forward. You know, like I mostly just feel sorry for Nico that, you know, all of his relationships were doomed all through high school and college. Because all he was thinking about was when this super hot, awesome.
She was in the spank bank when he was a teenager. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And when he was dating Sarah, and when he was, you know,
yeah,
he was spanking on Vera the whole time.
Yeah.
You want to hear something interesting?
Yeah.
Not a whiff of this movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm.
No,
weird.
I don't know if I'm pretty sure that's not like a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
But let me see if there's any. I'm just curious what
those guys don't watch foreign films.
Other people. Are there no reviews here either? Oh, here we go. I was gonna say don't. Here's someone who likes 7 out of 10. 25 years separate two electrical storms through which two people have an interaction and changes the future for one and the reality for other. After the change, there are only 72 hours to find. Well, that's not a critique. That it's a synopsis is what that is.
Yeah.
I like this person already. I haven't read the whole thing yet. 8 out of 10. I have become a huge fan of time travel-ish movies and psychology thrillers lately. In fact, I would admit that the series Dark on Netflix is still my top five Netflix original, and you should totally watch it if you haven't already. Anyway, I really enjoyed Mirage. Hey, Kanku Kevin, check out Time Pop. Are you into time travel-ish movies? Holy shit. you are our person.
Yeah.
Interesting concept with pretty intense moments, but too many obnoxious, irrational characters.
What?
I was excited seeing this title on my Netflix recommendations list since I'm a big fan of Spanish thrillers. This one started off well enough, but became more and more unbelievable and annoying the further we went through it. The characters' actions just didn't make sense. A few examples. The kid. What kid runs into a neighbor's house when he sees them arguing violently? The mother. I understand that the whole time travel parallel universe thing would be confusing, but the mother, who is intelligent enough considering she's a surgeon, just can't seem to get a grip on it. The professor.
Yeah. It's a lot. Her not getting a grip on it takes way too long.
That's where they always, you know how you get over that in a movie script? Introduce a child. If someone's only motivation is to get their fucking kid back, no, there's no rationale left for that person.
Yeah.
That entire concept ruined the show Blacklist for me. I know you've got a kid, lady. We get it.
Yeah.
The professor. This is the most ridiculous character in the movie. She wrote a book about time travel and parallel universes based on what the kid's mother told her, but failed to talk to the kid or even find out if the kid existed. Absolutely ridiculous. The cop, does he have anything better to do with his job than to keep chasing down the mother? First off, how does he find her at the airport? Then why attend a university lecture with the mother when you could just call the professor? Then later, when we find out he's married to the mother, why didn't the other cops mention the fact that it's pretty stinking weird that she knew where the body was buried? And this is to say nothing of the creepiness that he essentially planned to manipulate this mother to be with him since childhood. Yeah. This isn't even the full list of issues with the movie.
Wow.
With more rational characters and no ridiculous professor segment, this could have been a much better movie. Okay, so.
Wow, passionate.
Yeah. And also, so just to like make everything wrap up, she solves the murder in Timeline 3-2.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like timeline. It's just a little too.
It's well-crafted. The more we've talked about it, I at least appreciate it is a smartly designed, they thought of everything. Everything has a reason film.
Yeah.
To me, does it have the exciting watchability or the cool science time travel stuff? No, that's my downside of it. It's a lot of her going, but you're my husband, but my daughter exists. What do you, I'm not a surgeon. And like, just not getting it. And she it's not like this randomly happened. She actually did some time travel shit. She talked to a guy in another timeline. It doesn't take a lot to put that together. If she just woke up and something happened randomly, I almost get it a little more. But like, think about what you just did. It makes sense.
Yeah.
He didn't do that now. Think like, figure it out. And stop nagging this poor guy who's not your husband and yelling at.
Yeah, it's almost like it would have made more sense if the husband did the talking and then she woke up in a different timeline.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. With the memory of like, you know what you did, lady. Like, I know this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
I know this is fucking weird, but you can connect these weird dots.
So yeah, it's a good film. It's well-crafted. I like the butterfly effect aspect. It doesn't have time travel. The science is not great. And the rewatchability factor for me is low. It's not funny or easy like a wet hot tub time machine. And it's not as like interesting to me as like an Interstellar, but it's a well-crafted film.
I'm going to shoot from the hip here, Scott.
Yeah.
8-10.
Wow.
I'm going to go 8-10.
I need to know some of my other ratings for this. I need to know what's around like 6-15 because there's certain films. It shouldn't be more. I like Happy Death Day better.
All right. Okay. Just I'll let you adjust it. I'll let you adjust it. But I want to know what your
my gut is 6-15.
Your no scope in 6-15. Okay.
Yeah. It's a finely crafted film. But like I said, those two factors are big for me. You're either the Groundhog Day hot tub time machine and you're fun to watch, or you're really like interesting. You're really exploring this concept. scientifically, I'm not getting any of those things. So unfortunately, it doesn't go high, even though it's crafted.
So 57 seconds is 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Doctor Who Blink is 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Totally Killer is 6:30.
Okay.
You got Scrooged at 7. I think 6:15. I think
6:15.
I think everything 6:15. I think 6:15 is about right.
Yeah. All right. I'm doing it.
All right. We are 50, an hour and 55 minutes. We are one Star Wars episode 4 apart. Oh, fantastic, Scott. Thank you so much. I hope you have a good study time.
All right. Keep me posted on what happens for you.
I will. And we'll, whenever you get a chance, do some research about our top 30. And whenever we get a chance to record next, we'll do our top 30.
You're suffering from an episode of transient global amnesia.
What I want to know is if my daughter is okay.
This is the time I have to find my daughter.
Take a look around and you'll remember.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.